WCNC Charlotte. This is Flashpoint, where power and politics collide and the tough questions get asked and answered.
Thanks for joining us here on Flashpoint. I'm Ben Thompson. Protests over the conflict in the Middle East reaching new heights this week here in North Carolina. UNC Charlotte police clearing a pro-Palestine encampment on campus. Police making at least one arrest as protests continue to build. Listen, this is an international conflict that has decades of history, and we are not trying to resolve that here today. Instead, we want to focus on how these issues are showing up in our communities and our college campuses. In a moment, the co-founder of the North Carolina Coalition for Israel. But first, the leader of the group helping to organize some of the biggest pro-Palestinian protests here in Charlotte. We approached both conversations with similar questions, hoping to have a productive dialogue. It's important to note that their viewpoints are expressly theirs. And full transparency, what you are about to see is our conversation with both groups giving each equal amount of time. Again, our goal was to talk about the issues here at home. Joining us now is Jenna Awad. She is the president of Charlotte United for Palestine. Jenna, thanks for coming on Flashpoint. We appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Why do you given that the issue here in the Middle East is not new, why do you think these protests are starting to pop up on college campuses here now?
Well, actually, for over 7 months now, Israel has been indiscriminately bombing Gaza. So Israel has bombed hospitals, mosques, refugee camps, churches. At this point now, over 40,000 Palestinians have been murdered, and it's all been funded by U.S. tax dollars. And these students have found that their universities are complicit in this genocide. Israel continuously bombs over 70% of the homes in Gaza. The entire population is actually on the brink of starvation.
Let me stop you right there, just because I want to get this in. Okay. How do you rectify that and sort of rationalize that compared to what we saw back on October 7th? We also saw civilians killed and murdered and targeted at music fests and everything else. Who is to say at what point is Israel's reaction appropriate?
Well, Israel has now murdered over 40,000 Palestinians since October. This is going on to 7 months of genocide on Palestinians in Gaza. And that is completely funded by U.S. tax dollars. Over 15,000 children have been killed by Israeli bombings. And 70% of homes in Gaza are actually completely destroyed. The population in Gaza is about 2 million people, and they have been repeatedly ordered to move to fake safe zones and utilize fake safe routes so that they can reach safety. But the truth is that nowhere in Gaza is safe. The Israeli military has intentionally targeted schools, hospitals, UNRWA refugee camps, and housing. Israel bombed all the universities in Gaza, all the hospitals in Gaza.
Speaking of the universities, let me bring it back here. Do you feel like the protests we've seen on campuses here in North Carolina, both here in Charlotte, up in Chapel Hill, do you think they've gone too far or not gone far enough?
Well, as I was saying, the truth is that nowhere in Gaza is safe. 40,000 innocent Palestinian civilians have been murdered by Israel.
I got to stop you. I understand what you're saying, but we have a limited time here. Do you feel like the protests here on campuses in Charlotte and Chapel Hill have gone too far or have not gone far enough?
Well, what we have been witnessing in the world right now in Gaza and what the U.S. is funding and what universities are funding and contributing to the genocide in Gaza is part of a larger Zionist settler colonial project to make all of Palestine a solely Jewish state at the expense of Palestinians.
Do you think the protest should continue? I'm sorry, the people watching this live in Charlotte, and so we've got to relate it to Charlotte issues. Do you think the protest should continue?
Yeah, so the UNC Charlotte Gaza Solidarity Encampment was erected to protest their university's complicity on the ongoing genocide on Gaza. So I do think it is important that I touch on the facts on the ground that how—
Totally understand.
2 million people in Gaza are being indiscriminately bombed. 70% of homes in Gaza are completely destroyed. And that is being funded by our tax dollars. Here as Charlotte residents, we know that our tax dollars are being sent to bomb more innocent Palestinians in Gaza. And so that is really important that point is delivered.
We encourage our viewers to go ahead and read more about this issue. But back to the protests. Let me ask you this. If it was on the other side of the political spectrum, would you say that MAGA protesters who showed up on campus, say, protesting DEI initiatives, and they were accused of violating school policy, if they were accused of vandalism, they were accused of disrupting classes and final exams, would you be okay with that?
Well, the brave student protesters at UNC Charlotte have actually joined a nationwide and global student movement to demand their university.
I got to stop you. If protests are good for one group, then they got to be okay with another group, especially when it turns to vandalism. Are you okay with that? Because it sets a dangerous precedent.
The students are at UNC Charlotte are actually setting an example for the entire world to see. They have stood up and stood by their principles and are willing to risk their educational futures and their careers and their livelihoods to stand on the side of justice. Students have a history of standing on the right side of justice.
Does that apply to students who don't agree with you politically?
It is amazing that the students are doing at UNC Charlotte and across the nation and across the world. UNC Charlotte, the media, the police have painted the student protesters, the peaceful student protesters, as aggressors when they are so brave for taking this stance. They are demanding an end to a genocide. They are demanding an end to an occupation.
Let me ask you this. If other students take other stances on other issues and they disrupt classes and they disrupt final exams and they vandalize, what kind of school system do you expect to have?
The UNC Charlotte administration has accused and have applied and has spoken about backless and false allegations that are completely backless. The students actually should be commended for their courage to stand for justice.
Jenna, listen, I appreciate you taking time. And I appreciate your passion. You are not addressing the issues that face the people here in North Carolina and face the students on some of these campuses. I do appreciate you coming on. I do appreciate your viewpoint. We got to talk about issues that affect the people here. And if you're not willing to talk about those, I completely understand. I do appreciate your time.
Thanks for coming on.
More Flashpoint after this. Welcome back to Flashpoint. Before the break, you heard the case for pro-Palestinian protests at UNC Charlotte and UNC Chapel Hill, disrupting campus activities in many cases. But some of the Jewish communities say that's not it. It's also threatening their safety and leading to more acts of anti-Semitism. In fairness, we are giving the two sides equal airtime. Joining us now is Dr. Amy Rosenthal. She is the co-founder of the North Carolina Coalition for Israel. Doctor, thanks for coming on Flashpoint. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So I know you're in Chapel Hill, not too far from campus. So you've seen this up close. Why do you think so many college campuses right now are seeing these pro-Palestinian protests?
I think this has been coming for decades, frankly, because after 9/11, George Bush expanded Title VI, and a lot of the funding came from places like Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And they hired a lot of faculty that were anti-Israel and came with their own narrative. And so they have been teaching the younger generation an anti-Israel narrative. And also the younger generation does not remember the Islamic terrorist attacks of 9/11. So they live in their own little bubble that is very much affected by faculty, not just in North Carolina, but throughout the country.
What do you think school administrations should be doing to help protect Jewish students who say that they don't feel safe in this climate?
I think they should enforce their own rules, and I think it's gotten out of hand. For example, the other day at UNC, the administrators had difficulty leaving their building because the mob was waiting for them outside, and they required police escort to their cars because the mob has kind of taken over It's hard to explain, but lies about Jews and about Israel is part of the anti-Semitism we're seeing. And a lot of these people, they have, they use very nice language, but it's hiding hate. This is all anti-Semitism. They're not out there protesting about China and how they treat the Uyghur Muslims. They're not out there worrying about the lives lost in the Syrian civil war. They're not worried about how much money America is spending on Ukraine. You know, some of them say they're anti-military, anti-war. They don't say a word about Ukraine. This is anti-Semitism. So I think the administration needs to enforce their own rules and also really address the anti-Semitism that is endemic in these movements.
How do you reconcile how you feel and how you just conveyed to us with legitimate concerns about humanitarian needs currently in Gaza?
Well, a lot of what you hear is from the of the Hamas numbers. They are getting more food in there than they had before. I've read that, they're getting 80% more aid than they got before, but a lot of that goes to Hamas. So no one's really worrying about humanitarian aid to other parts of the world. For example, in Darfur, they're eating peanut shells in this horrible war in Sudan, and nobody is crying for them. No one is thinking about them. All the eyes are on the Gazans because they're perceived as victims of Jews. And that's the crux of the problem. This is anti-Semitism. And the part of the world that wants to destroy Israel and get rid of Jews would like all the focus to be on Gazans.
And but what do you say, though, to the folks? I totally understand what you say. But what do you say to the folks who say, you don't want to compare yourselves to the situation in Darfur or the Uyghurs in China, that across the board, either way, it's not good. And to say justify one bad behavior for another is not good.
Well, this could go away immediately if Hamas were to surrender and return the hostages. So all of this is on Hamas. This is, Hamas not only steals the aid, but Hamas started the war to begin with. And they want to focus on numbers, but to remember what Hamas did. They cut babies out of pregnant women. They beheaded babies. They burned children alive in front of their parents. They shot nails into the groins of women. They gang raped women. I mean, and then they celebrated it. This is not a numbers game. And Hamas started this war, and they need to stop it. They could have stopped it before they even started it. But they've determined to continue doing it. So until Hamas says that they will surrender and they will stop trying to destroy Israel and kill Jews, that's the way to make this stop.
It's hard to forget the images we saw back on October 7th last year. Bring it back here to home. The General Assembly is considering new rules that would crack down on some of these protesters that we're seeing on campuses, like in Chapel Hill. Do you think that's necessary?
Well, I think things got out of hand because the administrators did not follow their own rules. We were on campus a week or two ago, and there were some young people trying to graduate. They had their graduation uniforms on, and they were trying to have nice photos in different parts of the quad, but they couldn't because the encampment was there, and it just didn't seem fair to these young people who were trying to graduate. And the demonstrators just took up time and place on the quad. And remember also that it's not just free speech, but they were spitting on Jewish students and harassing them, throwing water bottles at them, etc. So this is not just about free speech. They took over the space. And they didn't allow those who were trying to graduate, these poor kids who, missed high school graduation because of COVID, their rights to a graduation in freedom and ease was taken away. I saw different groups trying to take photos, and they could not because of the encampment.
Right. Dr. Amy Rosenthal, co-founder of the North Carolina Coalition for Israel. Doctor, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Still to come here on Flashpoint, you've heard a lot of information in the last 15 minutes. Up next, we're verifying some of those claims and sharing how you can get more information on what is a complicated topic. Welcome back to Flashpoint. As we mentioned, the ongoing conflict in the Middle East is a complicated one with decades of history, but there are some claims that we wanted to verify, fact check. Our source, numbers provided to the United Nations from both Gaza health authorities and Israeli officials. The Hamas-led terror attack on southern Israel back in October killed 1,250 Israelis. 250 were taken hostage, with dozens still being held. Meanwhile, in Gaza, nearly 35,000 have been killed and more than 78,000 wounded since October 7th. Meanwhile, getting aid in Gaza remains a major concern. This week, the UN says Israeli bombardment in Rafah has not allowed aid to enter the southern border, making a dire situation even worse. We have a lot more information and resources available now inside the WCNC Charlotte mobile app. Still to come here on Flashpoint, Charlotte city leaders proposing a new budget this week. Why it could end up hurting your wallet? Welcome back to Flashpoint. Charlotte leaders eyeing a potential property tax increase. They say the additional funds are needed to address the area's growth. This week, the city manager releasing a new proposed budget. The city looking at a 1.5-cent increase in property taxes. City Council also looking to increase the cost of city services as well. The total cost would be about $121 more a year for the average homeowner. The city says the extra money would help provide affordable housing and raise police salaries. The budget also has Charlotte Water in the spotlight. A WCNC Charlotte investigation says the utility company is looking at increasing the average bill by $4 every month starting in July. This, as we've discovered, the agency has overspent in recent years. WCNC Charlotte's Nate Morbido found this all comes during a challenging year for Charlotte Water.
Oh man, this is going everywhere.
As Dwayne and Catherine Pennant,
I literally heard her scream,
tried to convince the city of Charlotte to fairly compensate them for a sewage failure that displaced their family.
It was disgusting.
Part of a growing problem we identified citywide.
As a homeowner, you shouldn't have to deal with that kind of risk. From the city.
Public records show Charlotte Water delayed four long-term projects meant to increase sewer system capacity among nine capital projects the utility has paused or stopped in recent months.
It's not that any project is less important than the other.
This meeting video obtained by WCNC Charlotte reveals the department cut more than $100 million in the middle of this fiscal year.
It's about the department and what we can afford.
Is preparing for even more cuts.
It's not going to be fun.
And could go over budget by $60 million, a trend in recent years. Internal records show since 2021, Charlotte Water has overspent on long-term projects by a combined $168 million.
We have spent more than our original budgets with the introduction of a number of new projects.
Sean Kaufman is one of Charlotte Water's deputy directors.
There certainly have been cost increases, especially over the last 4 years.
He says inflation has taken its toll on the utility, resulting in higher expenses for construction, chemicals, and power. That, along with more government regulation, the city's growing infrastructure needs, and increased borrowing costs have led to an unusually difficult set of circumstances.
We are making tough decisions.
Factors that he says are out of the utility's control.
The environment for all utilities has been challenging the last few years.
The city will likely pass on that growing cost to customers.
One of our biggest struggles internally is making sure that we can cover all of our operations and keep rates affordable.
Charlotte Water is proposing a rate increase somewhere in the range of just under 6%, substantially higher than the past 2 years.
Have you all told council the situation you all are currently in, having to cut $100 million during the year?
So actually, yes, we've discussed prioritization of projects. There have been a number of council members that have been interested in the process.
There was no numbers ever stated.
Tijuana Brown is Charlotte's newest council member. She's also on the budget committee.
They did not tell you they paused nine projects.
No, I don't know anything about pausing of nine projects. Nate, this is my first time hearing about Paul's and Nine projects.
But you spent 3 hours with them today.
After our initial questions and just hours before meeting with us,
this is my first time seeing this. I didn't get that information on my visit.
Councilwoman Brown toured Charlotte Water with utility leadership.
I don't like for my constituents to be blindsided, so I want to go and get all the information that I can.
The councilwoman said it's critical the utility is transparent with the public, especially in light of the rate increase proposal.
I would want to know all of the information, not some of the information.
Do they know just how deep the financial situation is right now?
So I believe we've been very transparent related to our budget, how we move forward. We're being the best stewards that we possibly can of the community's resources.
Nate Morbido reporting for us there. Folks, come interact with us on social media, Instagram, X, Facebook. If there's something you want to talk about here on Flashpoint, let us know. We talk about just about everything. And as always, remember to listen and subscribe to our podcast. You can find it wherever you get yours. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks when Flashpoint returns on June 2nd. See you then.